How is everybody this morning? It's nice to be in a warm place. Good to see everybody. We welcome you to worship at College Park. Thank you for being here this morning. We are several things we want to highlight, announcements we'd like to make. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us some contact information if you choose, then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. And then once it gets to that last person, once you're done filling it out, send it back to where it got started. That will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. When it comes back to you, first person, if you could tear out those pages, that would be helpful. Let's see. Other announcements we'll make. Today we are having children's time right after the first hymn. Invite all the kids to come down and see me. Let's see. There will be an Ash Wednesday service. It's hard to believe Lent is already here. That means Easter is close. We are celebrating the start of Lent with our Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. So we want to make note of that. There will be no classes other than that. Tech support, we're going to take a week off, but we will have the Ash Wednesday service. Other things are listed there. Basketball is almost at an end, so we're having our banquet coming up very soon. And I think that's all the announcements, except I think we have one more announcement. Do we have one more announcement? Yes, we have one more announcement.
Okay.
Okay, now that I've been corrected. We're going to Jamaica. So we're raising money two ways. What?
I'm sorry again. The first way, we're having an ACC tournament party. There's going to be all sorts of foods there. That's March 10th.
All right. The second way, we're having a yard sale. We're going to turn trash into treasure. Trash into treasure. It is going to also be March 10th. So, yeah.
Woo! Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to translate that for you, okay? Good job, Keaton. We are excited about our big day, March the 10th. We have a way for our church to raise money for our youth missions. As Keaton was saying, in the morning, we have yard sale. This is the time for you to, whatever stuff you want to get rid of, we can make money off of. So we want you to donate those things. If you're able to bring them here to church, we would be very thankful for that. But we also have pickup teams every Saturday from now until the event. We'll come by and pick your stuff up for you. So just contact me or Charlie Jones to coordinate that pickup. We will be glad to do that. Then the afternoon, we have the ACC tournament. We're going to be showing that in the Smith Hall and auctioning several items off, including if you need some yard work done. We have some teenagers who are willing to do yard work for a price. We are auctioning off several items like that. You can bid on yard work. You can bid on beautifully decorated windows from our church and a variety of other things. So it's going to be a big day. March the 10th. Mark that down. Yard sale in the morning and the ACC tournament and auction in the afternoon. Okay, I think that's all the announcements we want to make. Want to say a special welcome to our guests right now. If you're a guest, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you will find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history or story of College Park. So, thank you for being a part of worship today. The warmth of Christian fellowship is something we often take for granted, but it is a great gift that people across the generations can come together for this time of worship. I believe God instituted the church because he knows we need one another, that we learn from one another, we can help one another. When we come to worship, we reflect who God is to the rest of the world. Let's do that with everything we have this morning. Let's be ready to worship. Father, it's good for us to be together. And we know that you have made us to need one another, to need the warmth and the love and the care that a church can provide. But Father, you call us not to just be church here, but wherever we go. We come to worship, to glorify you, to be strengthened by your word and by the message that is proclaimed through word and through song and through prayer. Be with us in this time. May we seek you with everything that we have. May we see you in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
right, invite all the kids. Come on down. Most of them are down here. I think, are there any? All right. Okay. How's everybody? Oh, there comes Christian. Good. All right. Here comes Christian. Come on, dude. All right. Now, some of you were here last week, and I gave you a little thing to do. What did I ask you to do, Christian? Okay, that's part of what I said. I gave you a box of chocolate, and you were supposed to give it to somebody, but it was a special somebody, right? Somebody that you don't get along with. Could have been at school. How many of you gave candy to somebody you didn't get along with? Now, I think you need to put your hand down, because your mama told on you. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We don't lie, especially in church, all right? All right. So you guys, who did you give them to? Raymond? He's our pastor. You don't like Raymond? Oh, at school. Okay. Shoo. All right. All right. Very good. All right. Who'd you give them to? That's somebody that spits in your hair? How hard would that be? That's very difficult to do. Good job. All right. Okay. Well, somebody that you love. All right. What else? Who'd you give it? Okay. All right, somebody who gets in trouble and has to get their desk moved. Teachers, y'all got those in your classrooms? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Who did you give yours to? Okay. Who did you give yours to? Okay. Was it easy to give that candy away to somebody you didn't like? First off, it's candy. And why would you ever give candy away, right? I mean, really. It's candy. Come on. But then I ask you something even more difficult. To give it to somebody you don't always get along with, right? Well, for those that did what I asked them to do, I have these big old things of chocolate. But mommy's going to control them, okay? You can't eat them all at one time, all right? But I'm going to give these to her. But all of y'all, you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I can fix this. All right, we've got plenty of chocolate. Now, for those that decided to give theirs away but not follow instructions, Christian, I have some dried prunes, okay? They're for you. All right. All right. Now, they're really, really good. All right. You can share them with your mom because she ratted you out. All right. All right. Now, Aaron, did you get candy last week? Okay. Now, not everybody was here. This is what we're doing. I'm going to give this to you. All right. All right. The other six I'm going to give you when we leave. I'm going to give you your big chocolate. Okay. Here's what we did. You're all going to get some in just a minute, okay? When we go outside, the big ones. You're going to get the big ones in just a minute when we go outside.
What did they get?
He got prunes. Do you want prunes?
No.
No. All right. Is everybody listening? Everybody looking this way? Why do we do things that are sometimes difficult? Why do we?
To help people.
Okay. Sit down for me. There you go. To help people. You're exactly right. Here's the thing. You're going to hear Pastor Raymond this morning. He's going to talk about, you know, when we're disciples of Jesus, when we follow Jesus, we sometimes have to do difficult things. He loves us so much, and he wants us to show love to everybody that we see. And what you did this week by giving candy away, even to people that we don't like, that showed Jesus to them. That is a big deal, church. That is a big, big deal. That is being a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we love you. And we thank you that you give us the strength to do stuff that's hard sometimes. Like be nice to people that we don't always like or get along with. You want us to love them. Help us to do that, we pray, every day in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats or go outside. Let's go outside. We're going to go outside. Go outside. I'll give it to you.
Our scripture reading comes today from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms. I invite you to read along, follow along with me from Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O people, my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forgot God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God.
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we know that you're a loving God. And Father, in your love, you desire what's best for us. And so as your children, we come to you now, having heard words of warning about the nature of who you are, how righteous you are, what you desire, what you expect from us. And even though the words may sound harsh, we receive them as a challenge to respond in a way that would give glory to you, in a way that we would depend more on your Spirit to give us strength to do the things that you desire for us, to be the people that you desire for us. God, we know that there are so many challenges. There's so many things that would distract us. There's so many people who would distract us. And even as we've heard from Jeff and the children, there are times when there are people that we just don't get along with and maybe are mean to us or unjust to us. But Father, we know that there's nothing that people can do to us that would hurt us any more than, Father, what we do to you when we turn our back from you. Physically, maybe, spiritually, definitely, emotionally, and try to go and do things on our own, to control our own life, to seek to give glory to ourselves rather than you. So in the quietness of this moment, we pray that you would touch us at our point of need, at our point of sin, that you would heal us, that you would give us your assurance of pardon, your assurance of forgiveness, so that when we leave from this place, we will know how much you love us, what you desire from us, what you desire for us. God, we pray for those this morning who are hurting. Maybe they've been hurt this week from things that were said to them, things that were done to them. Maybe they're hurting because they have a loved one who is in pain or need. Maybe they're hurting because they themselves have received bad news in regard to health. God, there's so many things. There's so many possibilities of pain and hurt. But we know that your grace is sufficient for all of these, that your love encompasses all the hurts and the pains that we could possibly endure. God, we know through you that we're more than conquerors. We know that that's exactly what you desire for us. So we pray now that you would allow us to set aside everything that would distract us so that we could truly worship you and hear from you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Let us remember that every day should be a day of thanks to you. We thank you for Jesus, your one and only Son, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Let us be mindful that it is our commission as disciples of Christ to seek those who are not saved and to help bring them to an understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. Give us the knowledge and faith that when we are sent in your name, we will not fail, and that you will guide us in sharing your message of love. Help us to be among the blessed who have not seen and yet have believed. We are grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Well, are you ready for the snowstorm? For those of you that haven't heard the forecast, you're going, what? We'll be sure to get you out of here quick today so you can get to the store and get your milk and bread. And those poor weather people. I said weatherman in the early service and almost got corrected. Those poor weather people, you know, it's kind of a moment of truth for them when they see that forecast come down and they look outside and they kind of shake their head and go, no, I'm not sure I really want to forecast this, but we'll see what happens. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope it didn't scare anybody away from worshiping together, and because it is a wonderful time of fellowship together, and we're glad that you're here with us. We talked about the weather people having moments of truth when their past kind of catches up with them, or they wonder about the future. I think probably all of us can say that we have had those moments of truth, those times in our lives, these events, experiences that truly changed who you are, or maybe the way that you look at things, perhaps even for the rest of your life. I remember a story a little while back. There was who was then Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, and there was a story about her and how she learned from a reporter, of all people, she learned from a reporter for the first time that her parents, whom she had always known as Roman Catholics, were actually Jews who had converted to save themselves and their family from the Holocaust. Now, as I read that, I thought, how did that affect what she knew of her past and how she viewed her own identity? It's kind of an interesting question. It's a question that's actually relevant because in today's gospel reading, the three disciples were confronted with the identity of Jesus. You know, the Jesus that they had known was now revealed to them in a way that was new and quite incredible, actually. It comes from Mark chapter 9. I invite you, if you have your Bible, to join along with me. Mark chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 2 through 9. Mark 9, beginning in verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them on up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. As I said this morning, verse 6 strikes me as humorous because we laugh a little bit about Peter. In parentheses, it said, Peter, he did not know what to say. No doubt. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. They were so frightened at what they were experiencing. Verse 7, then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This passage that Mark gives us, this story, is actually sandwiched between some pretty interesting material. Prior to this, Peter had confessed to Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And Jesus had insisted that he was going to die and those that follow him would be required to give up much. Then after this experience, you had that prior to it, after this mountaintop experience, Jesus and the disciples were going to hit the road again, go to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, Jesus knew what awaited him was the cross. So between Jesus telling them that he was going to die and that much would be required and the road to the cross, you have this mountaintop experience wedged in there, this incredible exaltation of who Jesus is. And in this amazing account, Jesus was physically changed before their eyes, in a way that they had never seen before. Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, but I suspect he was completely unprepared for the visualization of that reality that he saw on that day. You know, there's so much here that kind of goes back to the themes of ancient Israel. You have Jesus glowing. You have this brightness of his countenance that was often associated with God's presence in Exodus and elsewhere. You have this voice, you have a cloud, you know, also indicators and evidence that the eternal presence of God was walking with them, was traveling with humans. You have a Moses and you have Elijah who were present in this encounter, symbols of the law and prophecy. So much goes back to their heritage. And this was a vision for men who would understand, who would understand that they were witnessing something that was deeply connected to their spiritual heritage. All those themes, all these images, the Jesus that they knew as friend, as teacher, a rabbi, this Jesus was somehow uniquely identified with God. Even so, they probably didn't grasp the magnitude, the full magnitude of what they were experiencing. They did know, though, that it was something big. It was something unlike anything that they had ever experienced or witnessed. Peter, I suppose, felt like he just had to say something. You know, he had to say something. The scripture said he didn't really know what to say, and that maybe was obvious by what he did say, because he offered, hey, let's tell you what, let's build some shrines. Let's build some shelters, some monuments to this day. And God mercifully took him off the hook a little bit, because he said he had hardly gotten that out of his mouth, and God kind of interrupted him. A voice from heaven said, okay, this is my son. This is my son whom I love. This is my son, my beloved son. You recall where we've heard this before? When Jesus was baptized, the beginning of his public ministry, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. This is my son. This is my beloved son. But then he adds something to it. He says, listen to him. If we want to be disciples, that's good advice. Listen to him. Listen to what Jesus said. You know, this account in Mark kind of pulls us in two seemingly competing directions. First of all, it draws us back to the past. It really does, because like the three disciples standing stupefied there on top of the mountain, you know, we can see the long history of God in Israel symbolically enacted through the voice, through the brightness, through the cloud, through the prophet, the presence of the prophet and Moses. But also, the story draws us toward the future. And the future involves change. It's a word Baptists don't like to hear a lot. Change, are you kidding me? But the very word, the event is called the transfiguration. The change, because Jesus was transfigured. He was changed right in front of these three. But here's the irony. Jesus was changed, but do you think that the disciples were changed? Yeah. How could you experience what they had just experienced and not be changed? How can you leave from the top of that mountain having seen and heard what they had seen and heard and not be changed? How could you not take that with you? How could that not be a very part of your very fiber from that point forward? And as they followed the teachings of Jesus, as they sought to remember how the voice listened to him, I suspect from that day forward, they had listened to him, I'm sure, prior to that day. But from that day forward, having heard this voice from heaven saying, this is my son, listen to him. I don't know about you, but that would have made an impression on me. I think I would have hung on his words a little bit more closely. And that's a good thing, given what they're getting ready to experience in Jerusalem. This is my son Listen to him. Discipleship involves listening. You know, sometimes things happen to us. Sometimes things happen in us that literally change who we are. They change the way that we see things. You know, and perhaps on a different scale, this is kind of the essence of worship, isn't it? Worship should change us. In our praise of and experience of God, we should be changed. When we come to worship together, it's not just about the song we sing, whether we like the song or whether we don't like the song, whether we like the preacher or don't like the preacher. That's not what it is. Worship is encountering the living God. In worship, we remember together the events of the faith, the events of our own lives that have changed us. On those opportunities where we take communion together, we are drawn to recall the self-giving love of God that has brought us to this point together. In reading Scripture, in trying to understand it, in seeking to understand Scripture, we're moved to go with a changed heart and translate that into changed lives to make a difference in the world we live. Discipleship involves acting upon our faith. Worship should rearrange how we look at our past and how we imagine the future. Those disciples worshiped on top of the mountain. We should worship in the time that we come together, but also in our personal time. You know, and in addition to worship, there are other times and places where we see the glory of God. You know, we must, though, keep our eyes open. Keep our eyes open to see what God is going to place before us. Keep our ears open to hear God's voice. Keep your eyes open. Can you see the beauty of God in the snowflakes that are going to fall tonight? Being optimistic. Can you see the beauty of God in the snowfall? Can you see the beauty of God, the glory of God in the sunset on a beach or perhaps in a desert? Can you see the beauty of God, the glory of God in a mountain stream? Yeah, now we're talking. Can you see those things? Can you see the majesty of God, the Creator, in all of those things? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you heard the voice of God perhaps in a newborn baby's cry? Have you heard the voice of God in the laughter of a child or the developing expressions of teenagers? And as we said this morning, perhaps it's more difficult to see God in a teenager than it is a child. But he's there. He's there. I'm kidding. You know that kid, right? Okay. You see, it's easier to see the glory and hear the voice on a mountaintop sometimes. But what about when we return from the mountaintop? Every year when I was youth minister, we'd come back from Ridgecrest. We'd always talk about the fact that when you come back from a retreat, when you come back from a mountaintop experience, you need to be prepared for the fact of a couple things. First of all, you're going to encounter people that were not there with you. They have not experienced what you have experienced, so be patient with them. Bring them along, okay? The other thing you need to be prepared for is sometimes when you come off a mountaintop experience, Satan will try his best to slam you with things to bring you down. And sometimes it's really hard to come off the mountain. You just want to go back. You come off the mountain and somehow you just feel like, I want to go back. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to live on that mountain. Where is God when we come off the mountain, sometimes we might ask? And Jesus and the disciples may well have wanted to ask the same question. Why wasn't Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane answered with a change in what unfolded? Why was there no glory, or so it would seem? Why was there no glory, no voice at Golgotha? Why was there no voices at the cross except the voices that were taunting Jesus, saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself?
Where was God's voice then? You know, if God could be made known in the glorious mountaintop experience, why not at the cross when a miracle was really needed? And your mind's already saying, but there was a miracle there. And of course there was. But to the casual observer, it would appear maybe that God was not there. When Jesus breathed his last breath, where was God? None of us will fully comprehend the darkness of the cross, the depth of the isolation, the pain of the separation that Jesus felt from his Father. We can't imagine that. But somehow through the darkness of that experience, we're drawn from light to light, from transfiguration to Easter. We need that light when we too traverse the darkness. We look for it. In the valley of the shadow of death, in the depth of loss, personal loss, in the crisis of faith, in the loneliness of depression, in the fear of illness, in all of those circumstances, we wonder about the light. Where are the glory and the voice when we need them most? Sometimes they seem to be missing, even as the outsider would have seen them conspicuously absent at the cross. You see, in Jesus' own experience, we can see that we're drawn through the valley from light to light. From light to light. Jesus and the three disciples went from the mountaintop of transfiguration to the valley of the cross, where it seemed like the light of glory would never be seen again. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We begin to prepare for our journey through the season of Lent to walk the way of the cross. And the austerity of this season reminds us of the stark seasons of our own lives. We have dark periods sometimes. We have periods where the light of glory is hard to be seen. We just don't see where it is. But the memory of past visions of glory is somehow able to sustain us until Easter morning, when the light of the resurrection dispels the darkness and the glory of the Lord is finally brought to full expression. God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Dear Father, forgive us when we question your very presence, because we know that you've promised that you will be with us. Forgive us when we feel like that we have a better plan. Father, help us to keep our mouths shut and to focus on you. Help us to be slow to speak, but to listen to you. Then, having heard a word from you, Father, help us to be faithful at that time to speak. Father, in our worship, allow us to be filled by you. Allow us to know the light that points us in the path that you have for us. Father, as your disciples, we pray that we would be faithful to the calling that you've placed upon each and every one of our lives. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. and I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. The simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Jesus, yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. And so I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus, yes, I'll stand in awe. And I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
What you've experienced in worship this morning, I hope has changed your heart. I hope it's changed your life. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and I don't care whether you sing beautifully or make a joyful noise. As you look at the words that you're singing, sing those to God. Speak to Him, confess to Him, commit yourself to Him to live for His glory. If you're not a believer, that's going to be difficult to do. It's going to be impossible to do. And so I challenge you, if you're not a believer, come talk with me, either this morning or in the week, this coming week, because that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I'm just not feeling it. It's not about feeling. It's about commitment. It's about understanding what Jesus gave up for you and how much he loves you and wants a relationship with you. Then we can live it out. Then we can live it out, committed to him, to being his disciples. If you're here this morning and you say, I love this church. I've gotten to know the people here. I'd like to be a part of it through official church membership. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. But the main thing is we stand and sing together now. Offer up your thanks. Offer up your praise to the God who loves you very much. Let's stand. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we do love you. We pray that as we leave from this place, that would be evident. The things that we say, the things that we do, as we love those who are unlovely, as we walk in accordance with the path that you've assigned for us, a path that you've given us, a path that you give us strength to navigate. Father, for the blessings you've given us today, we give you thanks. We give you all praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Go out in peace, go out in joy. Go out and tell the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go out in peace, go out in joy. Go out and tell the world that Jesus Christ is
Go out in peace, go out in joy. This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.